This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's go to the United States and join our expert. It is Trader Nick. Good afternoon and looking forward to the weekend, I hope.
Hey, Johnny, I'm good. Good to be back with you. And yes, definitely ready for the weekend. It's been a crazy week in markets.
It has indeed. It's been a bit of a scorcher, hasn't it, really? Particularly in this country on more than one level, because we've had record high temperatures here and a very interesting market as well. Before we talk about the latest data from yesterday, of course, last time we spoke was on Wednesday. We've had some interesting data over the last 24 hours. But I wanted to ask you about the oil price, because we are now at pre-war levels with the WTI number around 70 or even below 70. So what actually is happening at the moment? Because it would seem that the good times are back.
Yeah, and I think that this is a really good case study today because you are still simultaneously, as we record this podcast, getting headlines about complications, stalemates, threats of conflict in the Middle East. And yet the market seems to totally be ignoring that and pushing to lowest prices in oil since beginning, actually prior to the war started. We are now back to essentially pre-war levels for US WTI and crude oil. So what's interesting here though, Johnny, is I think you pointed it out. At the end of the day, you have flow through the Strait of Hormuz. That is, in the eyes of the market, what matters most. You have conversations back and forth, bickering, arguing, you know, et cetera, or even in some cases, actual military actions, et cetera, going on, not to undermine those things. But the market is saying there is flow through the Strait of Hormuz. Many listeners probably have seen the many heat maps and screenshots and live feeds of ships traversing through the Strait of Hormuz. And the mere concept of moving ships through that space is enough in the eyes of the market to relax on where it thinks oil prices may go. Clearly, oil hitting, as I mentioned, the lowest point since beginning of the war. And the question is, how low does it go from here, Johnny? Because at this point, okay, we're back to pre-war levels. Does it go significantly lower than that? And I think that that's kind of the next question. We do have some strong economic data coming out of the United States, and inflation is expected to come down because of this over the longer stretch. But the question we now have to wrestle with is, has the damage been done? Is inflation going to be sticky for a while in the meantime that we have to kind of work through? And that's what I think the currency and commodities markets are going to grapple with going forward.
And it was just a matter of weeks ago, Nick, that we were predicting interest rate hikes sooner rather than later, and the fact that high oil prices were here to stay. But from what you've just said, you're intimating that prices might go even lower than the $70 a barrel or thereabouts that they are at the moment. And that's going to allay many global market fears that we would go into some sort of recession towards the end of this year. And it looks as if maybe the end of this war, if indeed it is the end of the war, has come just in time. Because as you said, the Strait of Hormuz is open, oil is flowing through it, and perhaps the higher inflation that was predicted in, say, the third quarter of this year is not going to happen. So that completely redresses everything and makes us think that perhaps we might even see a rate cut in, say, early 2027, should things go according to plan.
It's interesting because what you just outlined there, the inflation expectations coming down over the longer stretch, is kind of showing up in the bond market. Let me explain. So with the bond market, for listeners, you obviously have short-term bonds like two-year bonds, 1-year bonds, 5-year bonds, et cetera. And then you have the long end, which is going to be your 10 and 30 year bonds. Well, why I bring that up, over the longer stretch, those yields are moving lower, suggesting that inflation is now structurally anticipated to be lower over the next 10 year period, 30 year period, et cetera, in the eyes of the bond market. Of course, that's always subject to change. That's how markets work. But right now, they're factoring in this lower oil price and relaxing a bit on the yields required to buy those bonds, or the yields offered to buy those bonds. Now, where I think things get interesting, though, is that the two-year yield is still relatively elevated. And where that brings into conversation what you just said about rate cuts versus rate hikes, I think the jury is still very much out on that. Because yes, oil is coming down, and over the longer stretch, that should help inflation. But as I mentioned earlier, the question mark is, what about the meantime? Are we going to see inflation that, and again, I bring this up because this Strait of Hormuz closure was one of the most, if not one of, maybe the biggest supply shocks in global history in terms of oil supply. This was actually bigger on a barrels per day nominal basis than COVID. And of course, with Russia and Ukraine and with COVID, what did we see? We saw multiple years fighting the inflation challenges that were brought about in, you know, supply constraints. Now, while barrels per day might be more from this Strait of Hormuz closure, of course, COVID shut down many different supply lines beyond just oil. And so maybe it's not as bad this time around, but still, there are many, many speculators that are saying that inflation will stay elevated for some time, and others that are saying maybe not so much. And the reason I think I say the jury is out on that is because there's still, in the bond market probabilities, possibilities for hikes this year. We also saw Bank of America actually post up to 3 rate hikes this year. So there is still this jury is out mantra going around, because some people think there's going to be rate cuts. Other people think there's going to be rate hikes. It's a challenging dynamic to know how much damage this circumstance over the last 3 months did to inflation going forward. Now, then we look at the long end, as you've pointed out, oil coming down, that's great. We have long-term bond yields moving lower, suggesting that over a long stretch, that lower inflation or lower oil price should help with that inflation story. We just don't know how much is in the meantime what we're going to have to deal with.
So in relation to what you've just said, Nick, it'd be interesting to get your view on yesterday's important numbers. We had the PCE data, which of course is the Fed's preferred inflation number, and GDP as well, which was better than expected. Based on what we've just been saying over the last few minutes, these were also quite encouraging.
That's right. GDP numbers beating expectations was certainly welcomed, and inflation not being substantially more than expected, although it did rise to its highest level year over year in multiple years. Although it still is rising, again, the market is trying to look ahead and being like, okay, well, the inflation part may cool off due to oil. But again, going back to our conversation, it is a question mark as to how quickly that inflation starts to cool not just cool a little bit. I think most people expect that. The question is it going to cool meaningfully from here? And then you brought up something earlier that's also on the radar. What would really beckon in rate cuts would probably be oil dropping substantially lower because of suspected recession concerns. That would drag rate cuts into the picture very quickly. But as it stands, GDP growth beating expectations, PMIs, on the previous podcast, I listed off several economic metrics that have been outperforming for the U.S. And part of the reason why the dollar has been so strong. That being said, dollar index is lower today. And still kind of cooling off from the heat streak or the wind streak that has had. It's not just hot over in the UK, Johnny. It is also hot for the dollar recently.
So let's look to the week ahead, Nick. And it's a very significant one next week, because it is the week of your July the 4th celebrations, 250th anniversary, which is a big deal where you are. Of course, you're going to be off on Friday with July the 4th on the Saturday. But let's not forget, the day before that, on the Thursday, we're going to get those all-important U.S. jobs numbers, the non-farm payroll.
Yes, that's right. And just to highlight the other notable moments of the week, Monday is kind of quiet. Tuesday, we have Canadian GDP numbers. On Wednesday, we will actually hear from Kevin Warsh again. He's speaking. We have ISM manufacturing PMIs on Wednesday as well. And then on Thursday, as you mentioned, the non-farm payroll number, which, by the way, I've got forecasts in front of me at 114,000 jobs added. That is the consensus number. Unemployment rate is also expected to stay unchanged at 4.3%. And then, yes, Friday, we have a bank holiday. Technically, the 4th falls on Saturday, but there will be a bank holiday on Friday in recognition of the holiday. So for traders, you may see some lighter volume and certain markets closed on that Friday trading action.
Nick, thank you so much. We will speak to you again next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.